How you doing? There you are. Yeah, he's every time I call you, he's flown offline. So, and I think there's somebody on the conference telephone conference as well. So,
and you are having us read?
Yes.
It's kind of slow go.
Yes, it is. It's very heavy material.
I think I'm familiar with some of it, which makes it a little bit easier, but I'm really trying to grasp it completely before moving forward.
It is. That's the way it should be done. We'll be starting the call in a few minutes. Are there any questions before we start?
I have a question that's not related to the temple.
That's fine.
I noticed that the last 20% of the year, the last 20% of the year, that's for Deuteronomy, is in one volume of the Zohar, the English Zohar.
Right.
The other 21 volumes are the other 80%, which, why is there such a small amount in this last 20%?
Well, you know the story that less is more.
And here I was looking at the physical reason of preparation for Rosh Hashanah, but I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
Deuteronomy is Moshe speaking to the Jewish nation the last 37 days of his life. The whole scription, every word in that book is not. It, God confirmed that what he said was truth, and therefore it's from God. But Moshe said it by himself to the people. It's basically an admonishment for how could you do this for these 40 years? How could you be what you were? And how to, not so much as how could you, but how can you change yourself? And how to be aware of it? And the other 80%, the first four books, are directly from God through Moshe, with that Moshe not adding anything of his own, no commentary, he just took down the dictation. So that is essentially why it appears there's less in Zohar. You'll find that there's some of the Parashiyot have no Zohar at all, and that's essentially because they... we need, for the energies those weeks, we need raw, naked energy. We can't have that inner essence yet. Eventually, those Zohars will become revealed to the world. They'll be found in the church's archives somewhere. But, however, that process is done. That, I think, is the answer to your question. The fact that it's from Moshe as opposed to from God, it takes more explanation, obviously, from God than from Moshe. And you also have to remember that the Deuteronomy is a repetition. One of its terms is Mishneh Torah, the second Torah. It's a repetition of stories. It's describing all the different events.
So it's like a summary?
Well, it's unique unto itself. I wouldn't call it a summary. But it's repeating of the first. I mean, if you read the words in Deuteronomy itself, in the first parasha in Deuteronomy, it's a recap of the history from the redemption of Egypt, you know, going through into the desert, and what took place. It's describing some of the stops that were made. And it discusses the tourists or the spies, as they're more commonly known. All of that. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Chris, are you there?
This is Connie online.
How you doing, Connie?
Good. I'm in Sedona.
A good place.
I love it. Rainbow today and a little bit of rain.
Well, let's start. Chris will get caught up. I'm sure he's having technical problems. Eventually, he'll decide to call the conference call if he can't get through. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Gedula chemincha tati serura alafet gimel yud tav tzadi kabel rinat amcha sad beinu taharenu no ra. Pray Shayan Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dor Sheyehud Ha Kivavat Sham Lem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Vachem Tacharem Rakamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Saritat Gimel. The letter Kaf that created the planet we call the sun, with two Hebrew names, two Hebrew words, Shemesh, which means servant, and Chatan, which comes from the root meaning hot. And it's a description of the nature of the Leo, and the nature of the energy we're receiving this month. The Leo, when they are on a spiritual path and doing their spiritual work, they receive intuitive knowledge about other people. And they can either tell them this information in a way that burns the people up so they don't want to hear it or don't listen to it, and eventually find themselves alone, the nature of the lion, or they can follow a spiritual path and become a true servant, where they're thinking about what's best for the other person, and then what they tell them will be listened to, will be heard, and will be acted upon. And the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, which is connected to the 72 names of God, and the Mashiach. Kasin Kadosh Zerov Tucha Nael Adata Het Kufet Het Nunayim Yachid Geah Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Gimelamet Pei Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatziakatenu Yodea Tadumot Shin Kufav Sadiyutah. And the last verse we say in a whisper. Chris, are you here?
Yeah, I can't. I'm on the phone. I can't get hooked up here for some reason.
Okay. I'm going to read another verse from the Zohar because there is no Zohar these this parashah of Devarim. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunaneh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunanehu. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Alef Amika Bedeveira Dekol Birkan Nitaman Navin Venafkin Umishtachin Mem Petukha Nahara Dinagid Ged Vinafik Vikrenen Vehu Raza Detanenan Mem Petukha Mem Situma Imadio Kimna, the Marbe Amishra. Rabbi Shimon said, Aleph of Amen is the depth of the well, of the well, whence all the blessings flow and come out and exist. Open Mem is the river that emerges and flows, which is Yesod, and is called Mem. This is the meaning of what we learned, that open mem is yesod. Closed final mem is bina. As we learn by the verse, for the increase, the marbeh, spelled with a final mem in the middle of the word of the rem, for the increase of the realm, a verse from Isaiah. The section we're reading from is talking about answering amen to the Kaddish, and to any blessing, and all of the meditations and kavanah that goes into answering amen, and the understanding of the relationship of the unification that comes through by saying amen, and the returning light that comes when you say amen to a blessing. The blessing draws direct light, the amen pushes that light back into returning light, and it becomes that much more powerful. Does anybody have any questions? Well, we're going to be reading about the future temple, and this is at the Zamra.org site. We're reading on the page called Shefa, and it's described the flow of blessing. Shefa, ascent and descent of the ranks. Let me now complete my explanation of the temple service in order to give you a proper understanding of how the flow of sustenance and blessing descends and spreads throughout the world. The lower ranks of creation rise and become merged with those above them. The Ofanim become merged with the Chayot, which in turn become merged with the Seraphim. Their place in the upper world is in this inner courtyard. It is therefore here that the altar is located, and from here they rise to higher levels. The souls, on the other hand, ascend from within the sanctuary, where the incense is offered. In this way, the roots, the Sephirot, and branches, the souls and angels, join together and complete one another, inside and outside. Who can describe the joy of this moment of connection and the radiance of the light that shines on all levels? Through this awesomely holy connection, blessing and sustenance flow to all who share in the gift rising to the King. The previous section that we read was discussing the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, and the incense burning sacrifice. And it was discussing the sacrifices not so much from the standpoint of an individual person bringing a sacrifice, but as the nations, the various daily sacrifices that took place and what was taking place in the upper worlds when those sacrifices were being done. And in the third temple, it's saying essentially that there will be an animal sacrifice because there still will be a body. And there still will be an incense sacrifice because there is still a soul. And that the animal sacrifice was balancing the animal actions. And in this paragraph we just read, it's actually implying that the animals, that the different types of kosher animals that were used as sacrifices in the temple are actually connected to the angels of the different levels of creation, the different worlds. The Ofanim is in Yetzirah, if I'm not mistaken, and the Chayot is in Briah, and the Seraphim is in Atzilut. And the implication here is that these different angels at the different levels of the different worlds all connect to different animals in our world. The distribution of sustenance. The flow of blessing and sustenance first emerges in the sanctuary, and this is where the souls receive their sustenance. You must understand that it is from the gates that all the recipients receive their due, from the places from which they receive. Blessing and sustenance well up in each place and then go forth to their recipients through the gates. The walls of a given place set bounds to the blessing in that place, enabling sustenance to flow out in a measured way to its various recipients. The boundaries formed by the walls of any given place determine how the light emerges, for the light always shines within bounds and limits. The light always has to be revealed, and it can only be revealed within the context of a vessel. And the limit and boundary is an underlying concept within the concept of vessel. When the souls join and merge together, all are included in the 12 tribes of Yah, these being the roots of all the souls. The tribes merge under the patriarchs, all of whom are then included in Abraham, the first father. He is the high priest who is permitted to enter the Holy of Holies once each year. The service of the high priest elicits a flow of blessings from the supreme chesed. As blessing and sustenance descend, they come first to the patriarchs and then to their children, flowing from level to level until they reach every individual creature. From the inner courtyard shines the light fit for the angels of the world of Briah, who receive it at the courtyard gates. From the outer courtyard shines the light fit for the angels of the world of Yetzirah, while the light fit for the officers of the world of Asiyah and its creatures shine from the Temple Mount. I don't have any comment to make on this section. It's a clear description of the flow that falls from the higher worlds step by step through the lower worlds. And it's received within each world by the individual entities who receive from it. And the reality is that only the desire that's in our world of action is able to truly draw that sustenance. So the creatures in the other worlds are essentially dependent upon man to call the flow down. 33 cells surrounding the temple building. Surrounding the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies are structures in the form of rooms or cells, built one on top of the other. Everything that comes forth from the Holy of Holies divides into the three columns. Thus, there are three rows of five cells along the south wall, three rows of five along the north wall, and three cells on top of one another along the west wall. Thus, the sanctuary is surrounded by cells on three sides, except for the last five cubits at the eastern end of its north and south walls, where the cells do not reach. Let me explain the purpose of these cells. Besides the sustenance that the armies of angels receive from the gates of the inner courtyard and beyond, they also receive a share from within the walls of the sanctuary itself. Later I will explain how they receive it. This is extra sustenance. Even though it comes to them from outside the sanctuary, it is on the highest level as opposed to the sustenance they receive from the gates, which is already on a lower level, even though it comes from inside. Two things. Rabbi Lusato did not explain why 33. 33 is the word Lod, as in Lod Ba'Omer. 33 represents Hod Shebachod. Hod Shebachod represents the manifestation of the spiritual, or the manifestation that's in the physical as a potential. It's hard to understand what's meant by those phrases. And the other thing I wanted to mention, as I perceive what's being said here, in the Zohar, we have this description of the difference between good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. And what it's basically saying is that good cholesterol is more pure, more refined, more delicate than the bad cholesterol. And the heart needs to receive that level of sustenance. It consumes the good cholesterol. And the bad cholesterol can go to all the other parts of the body and do its work. They both do the same kind of work, but in different locations. And because the heart is so sensitive and so important, what reaches it, what feeds it, has to be that more pure aspect. And he's saying the same thing here, that even though it appears that it's coming from a different level, from the gates, that's not as sensitive, it's not as pure. There's a difference between these two levels of sustenance. The recess. Outside the north and south walls of the sanctuary at the east end is a 5-cubit recess, a munach. Since the cells stop short 5 cubits from the end of the walls, through the 5 cubits of the recess, the light emerging from the sanctuary is able to go out to the right and to the left. The entrance to the outermost cells is from the recess, while all the other cells open into one another. Through this entrance, the light from the sanctuary enters the cells. Altogether, there are 33 cells arranged in three levels of 11 cells each. This is because they derive from the union of the Vav and the He. In the Holy of Holies, which is the lower world, Vav and He, 6 plus 5. Thus, the light that brought the cells into being existed from before. Understand that the power of these cells is not enormous. It derives only from the He, which is why the recess, from which the cells receive its 5 cubits wide. This hay created the boundary of the cells in the form of a wall 5 cubits thick. Inside the cells, the light shone only through the 4 letters of her name, Adonai, and the cells are therefore 4 cubits wide. The Vav displayed only a small fraction of its power, forming only the foundation from which the cells are built, which is 6 cubits thick. From this, you can appreciate how the intensity of the light is diminished before it reaches its recipients. We're being explained how the Tetragrammaton actually manifests the temple, and that everything in the temple is relating to different aspects of the Tetragrammaton. And the gematria is being used to display that. Now, how to understand the diminishment being caused, because what can be revealed in the Vav cannot be revealed in the Hay, the lower Hay. And what can be revealed in the Vav cannot be, it's much more is revealed in the upper Hay. And this diminishment takes place based on the letters and the number associated with the letter. And this is what is being said here as I understand it. The winding staircase. Consider some other important factors. The angelic hosts are unable to receive even from the cells. Accordingly, there are 2 other places to the right and left, along the south and north walls, outside the cells, 10 cubits wide in each case. Unlike the cells that I have been discussing, these 2 areas are not divided into 5. They are undivided spaces in which all the light emerging from the cells gathers. Why are they then 10 cubits wide? The reason is that 10 groups of angels receive from them. It is from here that this extra sustenance goes out to them, as I will explain. Corresponding to this place is the lower temple, is the winding staircase. On the subjects of the cells, those on each successive tier are wider than the ones beneath them. This is because the wall of the sanctuary, which is the inside wall, becomes narrower in steps as it rises. Since the wall forming the boundary of the light becomes successively thinner, the light itself becomes more abundant, so that the radiance of the upper chambers is greater than that of the lower chambers. The abundance of light depends on the ceiling, for as you already know, it is the beams of any structure that draw the light into the space beneath them. However, these beams... Excuse me. However, these beams do not penetrate the actual wall of the sanctuary, but rest on these steps. For it is from the outside that they receive and not from the inside. Stairs lead up from cell to cell. All the lights have these steps to make it possible to rise from level to level. This is disguising or describing returning light. When we do restriction, we send the direct light back up all the way to the Keter, all the way through the temple. This is describing restriction as it works in the temple. The northeast cell opens to the sanctuary inside gate. It is through the small gates at the side of the great gate of the sanctuary that sustenance flows into these cells via the recess. Let me explain some great secrets. The first cell at the eastern end of the north wall of the sanctuary opens into the sanctuary, while access to the cell from the outside is through the side gate. Why is this the case? The reason is that when the flow of sustenance emerges from the sanctuary, it must spread out into these cells. In addition, repairs effected in the lower worlds can only rise through this access route. It is through this opening that the rectification ascends. However, the descending flow of sustenance is received not from there, but only from the recess, as I stated earlier. The northern side gate is open at all times in order to give access to the cell, for here are the lower waters, which are female. However, the southern side gate is closed, where there are the upper waters, which are male. For this reason, it is said of the southern side gate, for Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the God of Israel, comes through it. And the only the high priest who is on the south side may come there. Let me now complete my discussion of the inner courtyard. I will come to the outer courtyard later. The inner courtyard is 100 cubits long and 100 cubits wide. Well, as you already know, when all the levels are included in one another, they number 100, for each of the sephirot contains all 10 sephirot. We finished the section of Shefa. We're going to the next section, which is the altar. We will not have time to complete the altar today. The height of the altar. It is here in the inner courtyard that the sacrificial altar is located, as I have already stated. Let me explain its measurements, which involve the deepest secrets. For the altar provides a place for all who need to ascend on it. The total height of the altar is 10 cubits built on 3 distinct levels. The height of the top level is 4 cubits, as is that of the second, or middle level, while the third or bottom level is 2 cubits high. This is because there is a place here for all the palaces of the world of Briah, according to their order of ascent. The top 4 cubits correspond to Keter, Hochma, and Bina in the palace known as Holy of Holies. Together with Desire, which is equal to Tiferet, which ascends higher than all the others, the middle 4 cubits correspond to Chesed, Gevurah, Netzach, and Hod. The bottom 2 cubits correspond to Yesod and Malchut, which join together in the palace of the sapphire stone. Now, you do see a difference in the normal flow through the sephirot, but I think this is an accurate description. I really don't understand the why of it. So let's continue. Length and breadth of the altar. Let me now explain to you the underlying principles governing the length and breadth of the altar. Know that the supreme wisdom, Chachma, contains 32 pathways under which all things are subsumed. These are the 10 sephirot together with the 22 letters of the Aleph Bet from top to bottom. Correspondingly, the lower wisdom is called glory, which is the Hebrew word kavod, or honor, has a gematria of 32. Because like the upper wisdom, she too contains 32 pathways. Only in this case, they are ordered from the bottom upwards. 4 lights descended from the Shekhinah into the world of Briah. They are called glory. when these lights reach their bottom level, the base yesod of the altar, which is 32 cubits square, all 32 appeared merged together in one place, as I will explain. The altar woodpile. As these four lights descended, a corresponding place came into being in this altar, at the top, at the woodpile. Initially, it was 24 cubits square, corresponding to the 24 permutations of the four letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud of Adonai. Correspondingly, 24 divisions of priests and Levites serve in the temple, and thus the branches join with the roots. The pathway for the priests to step around the altar. When Tiferet and Yesod, which are two vows, joined with the Shekhinah, an additional cubit was added to the length and breadth. Each cubit is made up of six handbreadths. This formed a place 26 cubits long and 26 cubits wide, corresponding to the numerical value of the holy name of God, of the Tetragrammaton. Blessed be He. This place is called the pathway for the priests to step around the altar. The Hebrew is Mikom Chiluch Raglei HaKohanim. While the previous area is called the place of the woodpile, Mikom HaMa'aracha, horns of the altar. Afterwards, Netzach and Hod also joined with the Shekhinah. These two sefirot are the two mighty horns of which it says, and his horns are the horns of the wild ox. This formed the place 28 cubits square. This is because the Shekhinah is called Batsheva, since it is through her that the seven lower sephirot are revealed. When she stands facing the four, namely Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut, when the Shekhinah stands face to face with the bottom four sephirot of Zeranpin, these 28 lights appeared. These are the 28 camps of the Shekhinah. They're also the 28 times mentioned in Mishle, in Proverbs chapter 3. As a result of the rectification brought about when the Shekhinah stands facing these four, four lights came down from above into the world of Briah. This explains the presence of the four horns here, at the four corners at the top of the altar. They are the four letters of Adonai. You must understand that the cubit of measurement used in the temple consists sometimes of six hands' breadth and sometimes of five. The cubit of six hand breadths derives from the male aspect, while the cubit of five handbreadths derives from the female aspect. The glory revealed in the altar is bound up with the hay of the divine name, and for this reason, the cubits of the horns are of five handbreadths. The surrounding ledge. The light now descended four levels, for in this way, all the levels are joined together as one. Afterwards, the hay welled up again with great force and spread out even further than before, protruding another two cubits of five handbreadths in both directions, forming the surrounding ledge. Sovev. Let me tell you where these two cubits came from. They are drawn down from the palace of desire, for each of the individual palaces receives from its corresponding aspect in the palace of desire. Accordingly, this section of the altar is 30 cubits square. The foundation. After another four levels, the glory spread out further, When it reached its lowest level, it radiated in all its strength and greatness in the form of 32 great lights corresponding to the numerical value of the letters of Kavod. At the base, therefore, the altar is 32 cubits square. Position of the altar and the ramp. The altar in the future temple is in front of the sanctuary in direct alignment with its south and north walls, for it is written in the altar in front of the house. The altar ramp is to the south. Let me explain to you the significance of this ramp. The altar itself derives from Malchut, while the ramp standing on its side derives from Yesod. The ramp is positioned to the south of the altar. South is equal to Chesed, the right hand. In order to rectify the altar by connecting it to the right hand side, this is why the ramp is to the south. Or in this way, the altar is drawn to the south. This is in accordance with the underlying secret of the verse. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be firmly established on the top of the mountains. As I explained above, the altar itself does not intrinsically lean to the right, since it is positioned in the center. But through the position of the ramp, which gives access to the top of the altar from the south, the altar starts on the south side. Since the altar is 32 cubits from south to north, its north side is in direct alignment with the end of the north wall of the sanctuary. The ramp itself is also 32 cubits long. Its length is thus identical to that of the base of the altar, neither less nor more. In addition, there are two smaller side ramps giving access from the main ramp to the surrounding ledge, Soved, and the base of the altar, Yesod, which are the two bottom levels. The priest's courtyard and Dukhan. In the inner courtyard, the Azara, one step leads up from the eastern section, the Israelite court, to the place of the Levites, also known as the court of the priests, which is thus a platform one step higher than the Ezrat Yisrael, the Israelite court. On this step platform, another three steps leads up to the palace of the priests, the Dukhan. Just as this is an aside, Dukening is what is referred to as the priestly blessings of the priests walking up to the altar and turning and then blessing the congregation as the mitzvah says they should do. This is not done as often as it should be done for whatever custom reasons have developed. But the Sephardic people in Jerusalem do it at every opportunity. The Ashkenazi only do it, even in Jerusalem, they only do it on the holidays and on Shabbat. But the Yiddish word for the blessing is called Dukhan, Dukening. The reason for these steps is that the place of the Levites is one level higher than of the Israelites. Afterwards, however, the three levels, Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, join together so that all three are included in the place where the priests perform the temple service. The reason why there are not merely two steps up to the place of the priests is that it is not exclusively theirs, but rather it is the place where all three levels join together as one to Chesed itself. Understand this well. I guess we did have time to finish. Continuing to the next section. The outer courtyard. I'm taking a look to see how long this section, this page is.
What's the website you're reading from?
Azamra.org.
Could you spell that, please?
AZAMRA.org. Then you, when you get to that website on the left, it says free books. You click on the free books, and the first link is the is a translation of Rabbi Luzzatto's book, which is translated into English as The Secrets of the Third Temple. And that's what we're reading. But that is going to be it for tonight, because I want to stay within the pages, and it's clearly we don't have enough time to finish this, this section of the outer courtyard.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
I seem to, this is Bernice, and I seem to have misplaced my phone directory. And I wondered if I can have your number.
Certainly, it's 818-613-3457.
818?
Yes, 818-613-3457.
3457. Thank you.
Nice to hear from you, Bernice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions before we hang up? I do want to mention that next Monday's class on the Sefer Yetzirah is being canceled in view of the Tisha B'Av. We'll be starting very close to the time when it would end, and I don't want to run that close to it.
What section were you in today? I missed the very opening.
What section were we in?
Mm-hmm.
We started, give me a second to get back to where it was. We started in the section called Shefa.
Shefa?
Shefa. We completed the section called Shefa and the section called Altar.
Uh-huh.
And then we're stopping before we start the section called the Outer, which is where we will pick up, not probably tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Tomorrow at 5 you'll be doing that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then tomorrow night at 10 we will be doing the Hilulah for the Ari.
All right.
I hope you'll join us then. Everybody have a good evening.
You too.
Hey, Noyce.
Yes?
What happened to the video? It just wouldn't work. It kept going off.
It's on your side, Chris, because Marcia and I had a fine session tonight.
Okay.
The video.
Okay. And I have to figure out what's happening here. So, okay.
Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Shalom.
Take care. Good night, Marcia.
Be well.
Good night, everybody.